living and true God. You are the one who is, as we've just sung, you are the God who inhabits eternity, the one who is infinite in his being, but also in his grace. And so, Lord, we thank you that because of your grace that we are here, able to be here this morning to worship you. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to do something first before I start. And I want to ask a family from Palmerston North to come up here so you can see who they are, that they're real people. They don't have big horns or whatever on. And only one could make it. Just come and stand up here. We're not going to baptize you or anything like that, so it's okay. So, now some of you have asked me how many people are in Palmerston North. What's that church you're going to? Well, there is really no church, right?
No, not really.
Not really. But we're going to build one there, right? And that's the plan. So you want to say your names all nice and loud.
Okay. So, well, I'm Robin.
Cameron.
They're my new evangelism team. Okay, they don't know that yet. So, and what I want you guys to all do today is give them a very warm Trinity welcome. And secondly, you tell them what a nice guy I am. that I'm not a hard taskmaster. And I don't boss everyone around. And I don't like to control everything. Okay, you tell them that, right? If you don't. I have still got my sermon to come. So anyway, thank you guys for coming up. It's great that you made the journey, and we're going to have a good time down there, okay? I told them earlier, we're going to have fun. We're allowed to have fun? Do we have fun here at Trinity?
Yeah.
Godly fun. And so that's what we're going to do down there. And we do want you to come and visit. But perhaps more importantly than that, if you've got any cousins or anybody you know down there who needs to be in heaven, you tell them where to come, and we will try and point them there, right? So that's what we want. Any contacts you have, we'd love to know about it. So you guys can sit down.
Thank you.
Thanks for being so brave.
Yeah.
Today's an unusual day for me. I feel a mixture of emotions. I feel really excited to be going away, but also, and obviously, I feel really, really sad. I didn't sleep very well last night, you know. I kept dreaming about it, and, you know, just thinking lots of thoughts like, you know, it's crazy to be going away and leaving a beautiful and handsome bunch like you. But again, it's exciting to be able to go and to seek by the grace of God to start another church. So I feel a real mixture of emotions today, and I'm just not sure how I'm going to handle it today. But again, I just want to say it's been a privilege to serve you, and maybe later on I get to talk more. Is that right? Do I get two sermons today, Rob? Okay. Well, I've always said that, you know, old Wim, who used to come here, Trinity people, you know, Wim Bowman, and you know, I've told the story, probably sends many of you to sleep, but, you know, Wim was an elderly Dutchman. If you're a Dutchman here, don't be offended. Nothing wrong with that, really. He met me at the Drury Church, as did Rosemary here. Rosemary came to Drury with the biggest Bible I've ever seen, and she has used it to good effect here in Takanini, and some of Karen and others came from Drury. But Wim was remarkable in the fact that he didn't know me at all, and he had walked into the church his first Sunday, my last one. And he said, after the service, he came to me and said, "I'm coming with you. Whatever you're doing, I'm coming with you." And Wim, of course, did come. He kept true to his word, and bless him, he was faithful, as Steve pointed out earlier, and in prayer and in commitment to the church, to the extent that he literally, you know, nearly died here a few times, didn't he? I think a few weeks we had to call an ambulance, and then he was determined to go to the Lord while he was sitting right over here in the seat. Great for him, but not so great for us. But Wim used to say to me, "Andrew, you got the gift of the gab." I didn't believe a word of it. I said, "No, I've actually got nothing to say. The only time I hope I have anything meaningful to say is when I come to the Bible and share with you from God's Word. So I got nothing to say to you today except let's go back to God's Word and I just want to read a little more of what Tim and Uncle read. Awesome, Tim and Uncle, you did really well. But if we could just go back to that passage, Mark or Jim, and to Acts chapter 20, and maybe just read verse 22 down to verse 32. And this is the Apostle Paul writing as he's about to journey to the city of Jerusalem from the city of Ephesus. If you look in the back of your Bibles, in the map, you'll see the distance between those two cities. He'd been in Ephesus for quite a long time, and now he's going back to Jerusalem because he knew that if he went back to Jerusalem, he would be arrested and persecuted for the sake of the gospel. And so now he's saying goodbye to the Ephesian people, and he says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." I really hope that's not the case of me going to Palmerston North, otherwise I'm not coming. Pardon? I don't want you to visit me in prison, because I don't want to be there. He says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again." Now that may be true. That may be true for you and I today. Some of us may never see us again. I hope not, but maybe. "Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Talking to the elders here. "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought with his own blood. We bought with his own blood. And I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even though from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard, and remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." Verse 32, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The text that we've read presents to us a very emotional scene. There are tears. There are people who are very upset. There is, we read, a lot of hugging and kissing going on. They all knelt down and wept with him. The Apostle Paul got a group hug from the Ephesian church. I look forward to that after the service. The writer Luke indicates just how hard it was for Paul to be leaving these people that he's been ministering to for 3 years or thereabouts. He's saying goodbye to many, many dear friends in the church. Now, I want to say this straight away. I'm not the Apostle Paul. I'm not an apostle. Okay, I don't have new words from the Lord for you today. And certainly would no way compare myself to him as a theologian and a great, great man of God. However, as I've said, for me today, and maybe for some of you, this is an emotional day. This is a day when the emotions are at work a little harder perhaps than they are on the average Sunday. This is the last Sunday that I stand here as your pastor. This is the day when we say goodbye. From Monday, I'm going to be someone else's pastor. These poor people here are going to be their pastor. God bless them and God help them. That's hard. Some of you have been here since the very day we started. Many of you have. Some of you were here, like Wim, since the very first idea came out that we would have this new church here in Takanini. You've been there since the beginning, and it's been a privilege for me to work with you. As the Apostle Paul talks about in his other epistles, many of the men and the women he talks about as being his fellow laborers, his co-laborers in the gospel. Many of you have been my co-laborers in the gospel. You have served the gospel in this community through this church in a very committed and dedicated way. You've given your heart to the ministry of the gospel, and so we have a church today. But no longer will I be able to stand up here and, if you like, counsel you from the Word of God. No longer will I, as your pastor, be able to stand up here and teach you from the Word of God. And I hope you've learned some things over the years. No longer will I be able to answer your questions, or no longer will I be able, and this is the part I love the most, tell you what to do. I won't be able to do that anymore. There's a sense in which I no longer will be a part of your spiritual life and journey. And that's hard. That's real hard. Because I've been so blessed to be a part of many of you, most of you who are part of Trinity. And I, last week when we're all here, and this room was filled up like it is today, you know, I looked at everybody as I was preaching. I think, you know, just about everybody, there's a story around how you came here. And you know, there's a story of how each individual, how each family came to be a part of this church. And each story is incredibly unique and amazing and special. And so to have to walk away from that is very, very difficult. But the Apostle Paul here, he faced the same situation. I love what he says, because in this situation I've been thinking this week, what do I say? What do I say to you? What do you want me to say to you? What are you expecting me to say to you? Well, this week I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't really know what to say. And then I was reading this passage and I thought, that's what I can say. What the Apostle Paul said. And what does he say? He says, "Now I commit you to God," verse 32, "and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Just a couple of things from that this morning. Firstly, it's the Apostle Paul tells the people that, hey, you may have appreciated your pastor, and you may have had some blessings from him, and I hope you have. You may have enjoyed the ministry of the leadership of the church, but no matter how good or how capable or how hopeless a pastor is, and I've been hopeless a lot of the time too, no one, no man, no pastor, not even the Apostle Paul, can ultimately and always in every place care for every person spiritually, no matter who they are. But he says this, Ephesian people, Trinity people, I want you to remember something. God can. Whatever you're feeling today, whatever your emotion is, whether it's sadness or maybe it's anticipation of the future, I hope it is. But maybe it's also fear, anxiety, God cares. He says to the Ephesian people, I commit you to God. I'm going, but don't look at me anymore as your helper and your strength. Don't look at me anymore as the one who is able, who you think can sustain you through all your seasons of life that are ahead of you. He says, look to God. Commit, he says, I commit you to God alone. Whatever struggles you're going to go through, whatever fears, or whatever challenges you're going to face, whatever doubts you're going to hold about the future, whatever fears might come upon you, God will be here for you, Trinity, and have no doubt about that. God is not moving to Palmerston North today. Only I am. Or tomorrow. Only me. And I'm nothing. You have God. You have the power and the love and the grace of God abiding right here. You have everything. You believe that? You believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. You see, if you do, you won't have a... Well, you're going to have some doubts. We're human, aren't we? But you will not fear for the future. You'll not be afraid. But you will have confidence and certainty. The God who has saved you, however long you've been a Christian today, if you're not a Christian today, you'd better become one today, okay? Before I leave. All right? So you've got half an hour to get right with the Lord. But the God who has saved you, if you're a believer today, the God who has sustained or kept your faith through the years, who has brought you into this church and who has cared, who has created this church and who has sustained and kept it through the years, Paul says he's with you. He's here today through Jesus, his son. And I want to say to you young ones, young people in the youth groups, the boys and the girls, believe it. God is with you, okay? I know some of you live in very challenging situations, but never forget, God is with you, and God is here to care for you and watch over you. So please do not become discouraged. Secondly, the Apostle Paul says, I commit you to his word of grace. Don't you just love those words? Don't you just love that phrase? He says, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up. See, the Apostle Paul is not thinking just maintenance. He's not thinking in a, what we'd say, a defeatist way. He's not saying to them, look, I'm going, and you guys, you know, you just got to hold the fort. You just got to tough your way through it until you get another pastor. He doesn't say that, does he? But he says, I commit you to the word of grace, which is able to what? Build you up. Keep you going forward in your life in Jesus, so you become stronger and stronger and stronger in your faith. And therefore you become more and more effective in your life and service for him. See, the Apostle Paul, he's saying to these people, don't depend on me alone. Don't even just depend on one another. Don't depend on your elders, but come back to what God gives through his word, which is grace. In the end, you know, people, that's what it's all about. It's about grace. If there's anything I hope we've taught our young ones in this church, it's about grace. About the amazing eternal God who in time and in history reaches down to the earth through his son, the Lord Jesus, because he chooses to do that because of grace, because he wills to save people like you and me, stuffed up sinners like you and me, wills to save us and bring us into heaven to become a sanctified inheritance. Yeah, I think that's a funny Bible word, a sanctified inheritance, or inheritance of those who are sanctified. What God is saying is that, you know, he's taking sinners like us, and through the gospel of grace, through his full and free forgiveness for your sin, no matter what you've done today, as I said last week, even if it murdered somebody, there is forgiveness. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. But he takes people like you and I, and he forgives our sin, and he calls us into his family. the church. And we become, as it were, his inheritance, the group of people that he leaves behind gathers together to show his amazing love and glory, and one day brings you to heaven, to perfectness, to that place that every heart longs for and seeks whilst on earth. So today, I don't know, really, the depths of your heart, what's going on there. I don't know how you feel today, but I know that most of us are broken down in some way. I know that other of us are proud and we say, well, we don't want to come to Jesus, I'm okay, just on my own. Whether you're educated today, whether you're poor, whether you feel you're just a bit of a no-hoper, whether today you're a Pākehā or Māori or Islander or any mixture of those in between, grace is what it's all about. Grace is for you. There is forgiveness for you. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, look, I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which forgives all your sin. And also, it lifts your vision of who you are to see what you're going to be in Jesus and the inheritance, the sanctified inheritance of God. He's saying, you're saved, but you're going somewhere. You're going to heaven to be with the Lord forever. And when he returns to bring in his new kingdom, new heavens and new earth, you'll be there. As we looked at last year through the book of Revelation, that great and glorious crowd who enjoy the lavish, overflowing joy of God forever and ever. I hope, Trinity people, that you believe this, you believe these truths till now, and now I hope and I pray that you will go on believing that in the gospel, in God, your life is not just about getting through, your life is not just about trying to be good, your life is not just about treading water as it were, but you see that in the grace of God, you are a blessed people, named among the name of the saved in heaven. That's who you are, and that's who you will continue to be in this church. And I hope, and I really shouldn't say this now, but I really hope and pray that, as I've expressed over the last few weeks, you will continue to share that grace with this community. Don't ever become a church where you're satisfied with just who you are. Okay, please don't do that. Always have a healthy and a holy dissatisfaction of where we're at as a church. Not because we're bad or we are wanting more things for ourselves, but we're dissatisfied that yet there is still room in the building for people to come and worship. Be dissatisfied about that. Be dissatisfied about the fact that there are still many in this community who still need to fully come and know Jesus and seek those things, that they too would come and join and be a part of those who are sanctified, those who are set apart forever to know the grace and joy of God. Will you do that? Then I can go to sleep tonight and know that you are understanding that your life indeed is found in God and in God alone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us be together today. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who is incredibly gracious. Lord, as we look at each other this morning, we can only shake our heads and say, Lord, you have been more than gracious. Lord, you have lavished grace and mercy and blessing upon us as a church. Lord, as I leave these people this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to lavish your kindness on them. Lord, I pray, like Paul, Lord, I commit them to you and to the gospel of your grace. Lord, there's nothing else that we can do except trust and rest in those things. And so, Lord, we pray that today, and I pray it for these dear people today, Lord, and may they continue to raise up a banner of grace and of love right here in Takanini, so that, Lord, in the end, many, many, many come to know you and to know the joy of your salvation. So please, please do this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.